Frontier.
It's Wrestling Daft the Marks. Welcome. I've changed it around this week. I don't know why I've done that. Hailing from Larbour, weighing in at 185 pounds. I'm still not able to shift that Christmas weight. I'm John, producer of the main show, the host of this one. And with me a man who's bigger than the list of pardons Donald Trump is handing out. It's Big Alex. How are you, sir?
I'm not bad, and I don't think you should be making yourself feel too bad for that holiday wait, considering it's the middle of January and Scottish lockdown has been extended till the middle of February.
I know. God, it's hard going, isn't it? But I have my beer machine, and that is what is adding to the wait considerably. Alex, the man bun is still there. I'm loving it.
Well, I thought if I didn't have it in today, you'd get very upset. As last time I saw John, it wasn't podcast related. John insisted I put it in, so I've learned, and I will continue to learn.
Excellent news, excellent news. Let's welcome. He's really the kind of main man on the show, isn't he? You know, he's the man that's.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, John. You're the host. Come on.
Nah, but you're the man. In, you're the man in the business. You know what's going on. And this week, you won pizza, Gary. It's Inside the Ropes, Gary Cassidy, the lead writer there. I saw this flash up on your Instagram, just saying, you won pizza. And the question is, how did you win the pizza?
Aye, so I used to be a serial competition enterer.
Like, oh, you won
things just
one.
because I'd enter them. Annoyingly, I think I've told the story before about how I won a all-expenses-paid trip to Glen Eagles, but couldn't get it off work, so couldn't go. But I won some pizza, Domino's Pizza, put up a competition about Simpsons memes, and I was like, well, right up my street, I love the Simpsons, got a few wee Simpsons tattoos, I've watched it since I was about 2 years old, of course I'm going to be able to enter that with some knowledge, more knowledge than I do wrestling knowledge probably on the Simpsons. So I, between the pizza and the, like yourself John, the draft beer, I'm probably going to be morbidly obese by the time we get that lockdown. So,
what was your winning meme?
Oh, it was just it was Homer handing the pizza to Bart and Lisa and Maggie, saying pizza the food of kings. So obviously a pizza related one. I was like, nobody else has been pizza related, surely.
Yeah.
You know, John, you love a flawless segue as well, being on radio. So I was like, pizza, Domino's, you know, Simpsons, chuck them together. And so I was a wee tap in and got some free pizza for my Saturday night. So
it was like everyone else is just, it feels like I'm wearing nothing at all.
Pretty much. Essentially, just everybody went for the most generic Simpsons quote you would get because they would just Googled Simpsons quote or Simpsons meme. So,
well played, Gary. Well played. What did you have on your pizza? What is your go-to Domino's pizza?
Wee bit of avo. I can't actually remember. I think I went for the new one that they've got that was the spicy. I love spicy stuff. So it was like jalapenos. I always go for Papa John's and go for the one with the Amaro chili, yellow chili on it. So I just like it spicy. I'm a big spicy guy, apart from the fact that I'm new 30, so it catches up with you when you get a wee bit
old. I hate to ask a personal question, but how was your stomach and digestive system in the morning? As me and Domino's do not get on.
Not too bad. I don't want to take Grado's topics away from him that he doesn't. I'm only going into too much.
I've been chatting a wee while, so yeah.
But not too bad. I think as you get older, it's not as good, but I love my hot sauce, so can't really. Well practiced. Got a stomach of steel, well practiced in the hot sauce jalapeno region.
Right. I love the cheeseburger one. You know that sometimes you get.
I don't know if you remember, and I think they do the cheeseburger stuffed crust, but I don't know if any of you remember the hot dog stuffed crust that was literally a hot dog all the way in it. Yes.
So that stuff was good.
Yep, the diet's going well. you're not here to talk about pizza. We're here to talk about wrestling, but we could talk more about pizza if you want. This week, we will have all the usual stuff. Well, we're changing it up. And the reason we're changing it up, I'll get to that when we get to the pot of the juncture. Basically, we're going to be doing the burying and putting over stuff. We always do that in the company of one of our guests, Marks. We'll tell you all about the big shows, what's been happening on them. And we'll have all the latest news from Gary, and he is on the WrestleMania road already with a lot of news. There's been a lot of WrestleMania news. Gary, you're going to fill us in on all of that, aren't you?
I am. So I was getting ready to play a wee bit of FIFA before Impact Hard to Kill the other night. You know, I was like run it right up to the 2 minutes before Impact starts and everything was fine, having a wee drink, and then boom, press release for WWE announcing 3 WrestleMania dates and venues. Kind of ruined my night, but at least I've got all the news about every WrestleMania for the next 3 years, and a wee bit of extra that I've researched as well, so sure, we'll get into that later.
Fabulous.
While we're on the topic of impact, do you have an answer as to why Kenny Omega was wearing a Halloween shirt in the middle of January?
I was thinking, I'm going, surely he's got a few in his closet that he can just dip into, but I don't know if it's the kind of thing that he's like, I need to find any Bullet Club shirt, let's just grab a Halloween one.
He just go to Hot Topic. He's in America. they sell them in America in Hot Topic, and he just could have went like, oh.
I've not actually tried too hard, but I have kind of asked a few people and no found out anything. Right, idea why. Maybe it's some, you know, massive tease that we're going to find out and something huge happens at a big payoff on Halloween, but I doubt it. I think it was just a case of, oh, here's a t-shirt. Bizarre. Very bizarre.
Very strange. And like, I'm pretty sure Tama Tonga even called him out. I saw earlier, just because I still can't get over Tama Tonga with his haircut, but I digress again.
Just talk about briefly about you. Did you watch Hard to Kill as well, Alex?
I watched the main event because
skip to the AEW.
First of all, I'm glad that they put Matt Stryker on a pay-per-view, because I like they're trying Madison Rayne, I really do, but I just hate Josh Matthews so much.
That's the commentary team going forward as Matt Stryker and D'Lo Brown. That's it.
Josh given the bin.
No, he's been promoted to an off-screen role. He's the producer of their weekly television now, and Madison Rayne has, she had kind of retired and then came back for a match, but was on commentary. She's completely gone for the wrestling industry. She just has taken a job outside of wrestling. So Matt Stryker and D'Lo Brown. I love Matt Stryker because I love Lucha Underground and I love D'Lo Brown. So win.
Yeah, I did enjoy the commentary change, and I'm glad they've done it. And I'm glad that they've kept Matthews and promoted him. I wouldn't mind him in a smaller on-screen role. I just think on commentary, he's a little too much.
He's brilliant, and I don't mind him in commentary, but he's brilliant in everything he does aside for commentary. And I kind of get, you know, criticisms that people say, I don't mind him, but he's amazing at everything else, and he deals a lot with the media stuff as well. So I'm glad to see that he's still there. It's good to see him still there.
Keep him in that kind of media role, maybe in doing the interview and stuff like that. It'll be fine.
Yeah, in other words, Gary's trying to keep him sweet so he can keep his sweet impact interviews coming in.
Keep giving me the interviews, give me a wee Kenny Omega in the future. I'll be praising you to the house. So.
So yeah, as I said, all the usual features is back. Fantasy Booking Island is onto. However, we're going to flip-flop WrestleMind the Buzznox and Fantasy Booking Island because we've decided that we can't be arsed in both of them. It's too much work for poor.
To give them each their rightful time on the podcast.
I felt as though that we were hitting average 90-minute episodes of us waffling, and we thought maybe this is getting a little bit too far now.
Yes, that's the right thing to say, absolutely. So Fantasy Booking Island back today. We will find out what we're booking. We set it before Christmas. So Alex, we've had about a month to come up with some. So I'm expecting fucking War and Peace from you on this.
It's not as good as I'd hoped.
Super. After a month of preparation, there we go. So
a month, you say happened. A month. I still only did it last night, let's be honest.
Absolutely. Last minute homework and all that. So that's Fantasy Booking Island coming up later on. But first, it's time to cut a promo.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
Right, hand me that mic because I've got to talk about it. Now, I'm of a vintage, we know that. I have 2 children of differing ages, and homeschooling, man. Oh, fuck. It's just killer. We're a week, 2 days into it. I have had, we're a week and a half into it now. And I've had tears galore. I've had division that I'm not sure. Now, this is another thing I want to say, right? When did the sums change? I was taught one way in school, right? And now it seems
that... What's changed about sums?
What?
You might need to give us more information here, John.
Wait, well, the way they do division, the way they do subtraction and multiplication and long division and all, it's all changed.
Bod mass. Do they not follow the old bod mass now?
What's that?
The brackets... it's the order in which you do mathematics.
Anyway, it's all changed. But aside from that, I mean, the questions are getting asked. I'm only asking one of the questions. I downloaded this, right? Now, you guys are quite smart people, you know.
Mathematics, Daphne.
Simmer down,
John,
simmer down.
You know, you're a CG artist, Alex. You know,
but I've had years of drug and alcohol abuse riddle my brain, mate. So,
Gary, a fully qualified, you know.
I watch Countdown every day if that's going to qualify me to answer a maths question.
Right, well, it might. Right, now. The question was, right, it was the old recipe riddle, okay, not the Matt Riddle from WWE, nothing to do with him. Look at this old recipe that was found in the bottom of one of your kitchen cupboards. Some section of the ingredients are missing. Use the clues you're given to complete the list of ingredients and their quantities. Now, there's a series of clues here, like there's 1 kilogram space, and then it says, the name of one of the ingredients is missing from the list. It's margarine. How much margarine is used in the recipe? So that's 1 kilogram of margarine, right?
What are you making with 1 kilogram of margarine? No, wonder your weight's going up like that.
This is what it's getting to. So in the recipe, then it gives you 40 grams of sugar. Then it says blank of flour, right? But you get the clue for that. If someone added 40 grams of flour, so you can then go and fill in that it's 40 grams of flour, and all the apricots to mix, they would have added 5 kilograms and 990 grams altogether. So they've added 40 grams of flour with 5 kilograms and 950 grams of apricots, right?
So people are going to pass maths but fail home economics as a result.
But then it asks, so you go through this, right, and you fill in all these things. Then it asks you, can you write a method for how the ingredients could be used to make this? And then it basically, so in the ingredients, there's 1 kilogram of margarine, 40 grams of sugar, 40 grams of flour, 2 eggs, 60 grams of yeast, 27 grams of black currants, 50 grams of sultanas, and 2 kilograms of raisins and 5 kilograms of apricots. What the hell are they making?
The world's strangest fruit salad?
I don't know. The question is, can you write, what do you think the ingredients are getting used to make? I was like, what the fuck?
Hang on, one of the maths questions is, can you now identify the recipe that you've just set up?
I mean,
they're kind of taking these real world situations a little bit too far, aren't they?
However, I'm going to pop this up on the Wrestling Daft Twitter, right? Because if anyone can tell me the missing quantity of raisins in this recipe, they are better than fucking Carol Vorderman, because I have no idea. I sat and I was like, am I being stupid here? I can't work out this is for 10-year-olds and I can't work out how much raisins is in this thing. So I'm going to put that up in the rest of that Twitter. But yeah, anyway, homeschooling, absolute nightmare. If you're a parent out there listening to this, the pain is real. It is absolutely... And if you are doing a dry January, just fucking get that in the bin, because there is no way you're getting through this without drinking. So just forget dry January. Homeschooling is hell. We'll get there though, and hopefully, it'll be done by the mid of February, but I don't think it is going to be, guys. Sorry. It's that time on the show where we like to bury and put over stuff from the wrestling week, looking at the good and the bad. Myself, John, I do NXT. Alex does AEW. Gary does Raw because he stays up on a Monday night to watch it. I noticed you were on the Twitter last night quite furiously, Gary.
Aye, it's going to be a fun one today.
Excellent. Good. And you know what? And we bring on this guy. He's been on the show so many times now. He's our biggest correspondent. It's Mr. Bronze Chell. And do you know what I was thinking, Bronze? You know, I was thinking, I think you should do this permanently, right? But here's the kicker, right? If you're up for it, doing SmackDown, but we always offer it out to people. And if people want to come on and challenge you, you're the current title holder, right? And if people think they can do it, we'll put it out on the Patreon, we'll put it out on the Twitter. If people think they can knock you off your pedestal as SmackDown correspondent, I say bring it, baby, if you're up for it.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Excellent.
Ronswell will lay the SmackDown on them.
Absolutely.
The race to get holder. To the SmackDown joke. Everything, wasn't it?
Yeah. Title holder, Broadchell's got to do SmackDown for us. So thanks for joining us. Right, let's get into it then. Alex, it's been fun and games in AEW. What has been going on with all this Impact stuff and everything?
Let's wind back to the important stuff first, right?
Yes.
Ricky Starks has once again peaked. Did anyone see the pair of trousers he was wearing this week? It was phenomenal.
They were like, how does he keep those shoes on when he's wrestling?
I don't know. Ricky Starks has got to now be like the suavest man in wrestling. I love him. He's great. But the other big question I have this week in terms of like a people's appearance is we seem to have the case of Kenny Omega and his missing eyebrows. What has happened to Kenny Omega's eyebrows?
He traded them for a Pumpkin Bullet Club t-shirt before Impact.
Is this what Kenny's new gimmick is? He's just going to have no eyebrows, and that's how you tell Kenny's a face or a heel. If he's a heel, he's got no eyebrows. If he's a face, he's got eyebrows. It could be a new thing.
Up until recently, I would have taken a cheap pop at him and said that it's because he's expressionless with his promo ability, and that's the only way you can tell his expression. But I actually am a big fan of Kenny Omega now, and I think he's came on pretty much back to his New Japan stuff in AEW. So I'll refrain for that, retract that, and I think he's brilliant.
Okay, well, I'm going to start off weird and something that's going to relate to that, right? I'm going to start off this week by burying Don Callis for being an absolute dick. And that means if he's a heel, that is actually a compliment, not an insult. So I'm inadvertently using my bury the other way around. Because he's been terrific across all the shows. And I think he's legitimately, people are hating him right now. And that's what a good heel should be doing. So big up Don Callis. He has been really good, hasn't he?
Can I stick in a real life bury of Don Callis here?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes, you can.
He's doing the thing, and I get why, but he's doing the thing that I fucking hate. He's doing media interviews in character. He's getting put to do interviews to promote Hard to Kill, and I get it, you know, because he's executive vice president, so if he isn't in character, people are going to ask him about the business and in relationship and stuff, and he just doesn't want to answer it about relationship between AEW and Impact, because, you know, for all we know, it might just be a kind of word, you know, a spoken word thing. It might not be a gentleman's agreement of some sort. But he's just doing media interviews in character completely. And I got to do the press pass with him, and he done it on character. And thankfully, I got the, I think it was first or second question. And he thought I was Irish as well, so that's worse.
that's the real berry.
But he answered, he kind of apologised for that. And he was like, oh, my family's actually Scottish, hence the name Callis and stuff like that. But he done the full thing in character. Done a full interview with TalkSport, you know, one of our favourite journalists, Alex McCarthy, who can draw blood for a stone, is absolutely amazing with the questions he asks. Still hardly eating because it was just in character. So that's my burial of Don Callis. Stop being in character, just answer all the questions we want answered. You're keeping us on tenterhooks.
I like the way that it's only the journalist who's going to bury that. All the rest of the fans are like,
everybody else, like, yes, he's in character. He's keeping kayfabe alive. But
I listened to the interview him and Omega did with Jericho, and like they stayed like completely in character. Well, they kind of flitted a little bit in and out of it, but I really like that. I'm
so love hate with it because I'm a hypocrite. I'll praise MJF for it, but I'm raging at Don Callis because I want to know more for Don Callis. That's the only reason why. He's the guy that's got all the knowledge that I want to know, but stop being in character.
Right, okay, Alex.
Okay, I'm gonna just get my berries out of the way straight up, and I think I buried this 2 weeks ago, but Matt Hardy, that money grabbing carny. I mean, again, it was a great line from JR that I'm going to continue to recycle, but I've been questioning this character. And last week they did a little joke about Twitch. So, backstage with Private Party, they were talking about Matt Hardy's new contract. And there was a line from him about how he's not a monster. He wouldn't take away their Twitch and their third party earnings.
Yeah.
And then this week the script was flipped and it turns out he has done that. So I thought it was a nice little offhand comment last week, but I just don't understand why it's kind of now been turning into a storyline.
What do you make of the Matt Hardy character?
I'm not a fan of it at all. I don't think there's any. It's like his least original character he's done.
Yeah. It's weird,
I mean, it might be going somewhere. It's Matt. I'm assuming he's got more in mind for this, but it's not started very well, unfortunately, which is a little bit of the tale of his AEW career so far, which is a shame.
He's one of those guys that I'm not a fan of it, but he's built up enough goodwill with me to keep going with it because I think he is a genius. And, you know, he's reinvented himself a lot and done well. So he's got enough goodwill that I'll keep going with it and not be too disgruntled yet. But I am not feeling this one just yet.
I'm just meh. But speaking of storylines I do like, How good are they now finally addressing the fact that Chris Jericho is a little tag team slut? That made me so insanely happy this week. And it was the fact that, like, for anyone who didn't see it, Inner Circle were in, and Jericho has now decided he's going to tag with MJF. And this caused a lot of anger from Hager and Guevara and Ortiz and Santana. I'm glad Ortiz and Santana are now finally being like, Jericho, get the hell out of the tag team division. And I'm quite excited by the concept of this big Inner Circle tag team dominance match, which if Santana and Ortiz don't win, I'm going to be very angry.
But where was Wardlow in all of this? Because I thought the obvious thing would be to put him with Hager after the kind of last week.
Oh, know? Wardlow is just, well, that was the idea that they used, because they were like, yeah, after the big boys squashed their beef last week, and it was just Wardlow looking like really happy with himself at the side and Hager looking a little bit depressed. So I think Wardlow's just kind of being kept at the side for this one.
Right. Okay. Okay.
But hopefully it'll be a good match, and hopefully it's the end of Jericho in the tag team division. But we'll see what happens. And my final put over, I honestly can't believe I'm doing this, but as a segment as a whole, I have to put over the concept of it. I'm going to put over the waiting room, because it was the first time in literal months the AEW female division felt like a thing. Like, they felt important. They felt like part of the show. They didn't feel like an afterthought. I thought, like, Britt's interaction with Cody was great. She kept slagging him off. She literally took a shot at him to make good decisions, unlike the one on your neck, Cody, which I think everyone popped at. You had Jade Cargill coming back, she's just something about her, isn't there? You just want to kind of look at Jade Cargill and she's be like, I want to
like
see this
presence, movie. A ridiculous presence. Like, even standing next to Red Velvet, it was just like, you tower over her. And yeah. I think Red Velvet looks like a star as well when she's in the ring, but I was like, you just look like incredible presence-wise, like, actually looks like a superhero.
Yeah, and they managed to get all of the women's feuds into one segment, but didn't feel like they were rushing it all in, because you had the Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker bits at the end, and Britt being like, I'm not doing it, Tony, and then the match being made official by Tony as well. So it was great. The only bad thing that I learned from that segment is that I think Cody's going to continue to use that awful Snoop Dogg remix of his entrance, but crossover, I guess I can't complain. Match of the night, I was very surprised that I'm not sitting here saying that it's Eddie Kingston versus Pac, but that turned into a bit of a weird squash match, which probably makes sense almost, but I'm not that against it, but I was expecting more. But it has to be Starks versus Cage, really, doesn't it? I mean, you could argue they maybe went a little bit too far with the shenanigans, but they were probably going to be inevitable in that match. And it was fine for me, because it didn't so much interrupt with the finish that much, but yeah, good match. Good ending to the show, moving forward with the Taz and Darby Allin and Sting stuff. So interested to see where that goes next week now that match is done.
When do you think they're going to pull the trigger on Sting doing something?
I think it's completely fine. I'm happy to be roped along on this one completely. Just keep teasing it.
He turns up with a baseball bat and that's it at the moment, and everybody shits himself.
But that's what he did with the NWO. Like, if you go back to a lot of the WCW stuff, it was mainly just him pointing the bat. He very rarely actually attacked anyone with the bat. So I think it's a little bit of an homage to the way he was booked in WCW.
Right, okay. I don't know. I'll be interested. Here we go. Right, nice one, Alex. Let's move on to NXT and where we are with NXT at the moment. We're into the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic.
Just before we get into this, did the Tag Team Classic not used to be a summer thing, and then it's now changed to a January thing?
Yeah, it seems that way. I can remember it being a summer thing, but maybe it's just me and you, Alex, but I don't know.
No, because I think they changed it last year for some reason, and yeah. I remember it kind of catching us a bit unawares. But
I've never understood, you know, I get that it's obviously pays homage to the great man, it was Dusty Rhodes, obviously the kind of founding father of NXT, but Dusty was never a big tag guy, so I've never understood that.
I know that you need to mix it up, but I hate it when actual tag teams are in it. I prefer when it is people throwing the gallop.
I don't.
I think it needs to be one or the other. It either needs to be all tag teams or all teams thrown together. I don't like the mishmash of the two.
Right.
I don't think that every year it's always a mishmash versus an established team, because I think it kind of buries the rest of the division a bit.
Yeah. Although there is one thing I feel very strongly about on NXT, so I'll wait and see if John Berizer puts over and be raging or ecstatic, depending on what he does.
Right, okay, I better watch what I say. See what you're going to say. Let's first of all put over Candice Shotzi. That stuff's building quite nicely now. I want to put over that swinging neck breaker, that finisher that Candice did did from the top rope. She's so good. I mean, Candice is really a million bucks in that ring. She's really, really good. Great wrestler. Probably, I would probably say the best wrestler in the division. I don't think that's a hard push, is it?
I think Io Shirai is just above. Just above.
But yeah. I think Candice, that was a thing of beauty, that. And, you know, she dragged... Shotzi still needs a bit of help, I think, looking at it in the ring. And I think Candice is the right person to put her with. I mean, you could tell... I mean, there's such a buzz for Shotzi, though. You know, they really are making her into a big star next year. And I think we talked about in the predictions, she might have a belt on her by the end of the year. And you know, I think the entrance puts her, you know, when the crowds get back on, she goes up to the main roster, that puts her over instantly with the tank and stuff anyway. So yeah, cool. Really, really like to put that over. Move on to the buddies. I've said it so many times, but the cartoon stuff with Dexter Lumis, I'm going to skip over it, because I've said it's just fucking stupid. I don't know what they're doing with it anyway.
It kind of ruined that. They had this beautiful serial kind of like weird character, and it's just not understood what everyone liked about it.
Yeah. What is WWE's obsession with concentrating on one injury? We've had it with on the main roster with the eye shit all throughout the years. Now it's fucking broken jaws. Like, obviously, right, well, Finn Balor too had a genuine broken jaw. We know that. Now we've got a kayfabe broken jaw from Kyle O'Reilly, because you can tell it's kayfabe, because he had...
At the same time as Kofi Kingston has a legitimate broken jaw.
Yeah, it's just broken jaws everywhere. So, yeah, I don't know why they seem to, like, oh, let's do... He's broke his jaw, let's do another thing.
Maybe it's that Kyle O'Reilly comes back from his broken jaw injury quicker than Finn Balor or something. And they have a rivalry about whose jaw can heal the quickest.
It's a rivalry over a broken jaw, man. Do you know what I mean?
I'm devastated that Richard Keel passed away, because if you could have Jaws as the special guest referee in the in the rubber match, it'd be absolutely amazing.
I'm also going to bury three matches on the night ended in interference.
Okay, I thought you were just going to straight up bury.
bury three matches.
No. But it's just like, it was just the kind of go-to theme throughout. You had Indy Hartwell interference. We had interference in the main event. We had interference with Austin Theory. It was just like, it just seemed to be the go-to. And it was just like, right, okay, I get it. Lots of interference. So just stepping away with that. So three matches in interference. I'm not a fan of that. Going to put over maybe... Gary's got me all. I don't know what to put over or bury now, because Gary's got something big and he's going to be raging if I don't put it.
Yep.
Fans getting into NXT. Well, I thought that was a good. No, it's not that. Debut of the Rascals.
Yes.
Yes.
You've been on a podcast with Gary for a long time.
Man.
The debut of the Rascals now knows it as MSK. I don't get it.
Oh, the name's a load of shite, but I couldn't care less. Even their individual names are a load of shite, but they're amazing, so I couldn't care less.
I'm assuming Impact own the rights to the Rascals and all that then.
I don't think they do. I think the individuals do. I'm pretty sure Desmond Xavier owns his name. He got changed to Dez in Impact. And Zachary Wentz just went by Wentz in an Impact. I think it is just WWE thinking that, you know, Impact is small time enough that, you know, we've just changed their name, we repackaged them. In a year, nobody remembers who the Rascals were. I mean, the Rascals isn't a great name. No. The Rascals is a pretty rubbish name. I hated the full Treehouse thing. I just think they're like, for me, I think, in terms of in-ring action, they're the best tag team in the world. So I really, really can't wait to see what they do. Yeah. I'm not sold on the name, but no. I couldn't care less. I just think they're amazing. It's like, and I'll make myself controversial here, it's like Biffy Clyro. Terrible name, but who cares? Because people like them anyway.
I quite like Biffy Clyro as a name.
No, I hate the name, but I love them. But MSK is the same. There you go.
Yeah, fair enough. I know it's a terrible name. So yeah, no, I thought obviously the debut with them, and you know, it was obvious they were going over. Do you think they have a chance of winning it, Gary? I think it'll be the Grizzled Young Veterans myself.
I think they're finalists, definitely, but I'm unsure who wins out of them and Grizzled Young Veterans. But I think both will come out looking good anyway. Yeah. The one thing I'll say, did we catch the... Nash Carter's got to be a Nashville Dixie Carter thing.
Aye, right.
It has to be a shot there. But I think they're definitely going to go all the way, at least to the final. I'm not sure if they'll win, but I don't think it matters. I think that's...
Getting to the finals establishes them enough.
Scrap the tournament, stick one of the teams on Raw and one on SmackDown. Who cares? Raw and SmackDown need them more. There you go.
They need a lot of tag teams, yeah. I'm surprised, you know, you're surprised a team like that don't go straight onto the main roster. Do you know what I mean? Because when they're so desperate for tag teams. But hey,
Vince doesn't care. Has no one learned this yet? Yeah, Vince nobody does not care Vince about doesn't. Tag team wrestling. If he wanted tag teams, he could fucking have tag teams.
Exactly. Do you know what? Did I tell that on one of those shows that the reason that Vince doesn't like tag team wrestling is because he has to pay four guys as opposed to two?
Yeah.
So, and talking of tag team wrestling, match of the night for me, main event, I thought Breezango versus Undisputed Era was very good, despite more fucking interference. And it's good to see, obviously, Pete Dunne. I potentially think they might go for a triple threat again, put Kyle O'Reilly back in with Finn and Pete Dunne, and Pete Dunne pins Kyle O'Reilly to protect Finn Balor and wins the title, and then Karrion Kross takes it off Pete Dunne. Maybe that's how it'll go. But
you booking heel versus heel, John?
Yeah, I think it might be. Oh, no.
WWE, you mad bastard.
I know. Okay, that was it from NXT. Bronzechell, what have we got from SmackDown?
So first and foremost, we're going back to Vince McMahon's spending. He's bought himself some new toys. He's got some 8K cameras. I don't know if you've seen footage of the entrances. Yeah.
Man, yes, they are amazing.
Absolutely beautiful. So I'm going to put the new entrances over. Jey Uso came out first. Cut a great promo, and he's now referring to Roman as the provider. So no alliteration there. Happy with that.
So what have they given up on the tribal chief, and instead they're trying to make him sound like he's your dad?
Pretty much, yeah.
Right, okay. I think that's for all the women, for like John's wife, so John can be like, oh, you can now just call me the provider, and it means I'm Roman Reigns.
Could sell millions of t-shirts with that. Like, I'm the man of the house, I'm the provider.
Can that be the next Wrestling Daft t-shirt? Can we just get a photo of John and just write the provider on it?
Provider,
love it.
Yeah. I'm not sold on that. I thought the tribal chief was the whole kind of tribal thing, and I thought it's a lot better. But yeah, fair enough.
Mm-hmm. So Nakamura interrupted him, and he's very much back to being a babyface because he uses his old theme tune again.
Yay!
I like the way the crowd are now to sing along to it again.
Yeah.
I feel really sorry for the Japanese band that were doing the vocals over the top of it, because they've been unceremoniously strapped. And
John, do you know why they did it in the first place?
Yeah, to stop people singing along to it.
Yeah, so I mean, it was never going to stay.
I know, but the poor guys have put their life and soul of writing lyrics to Nakamura's theme. They'll probably lose out on a bit of cash via PRS, you know, so poor guys.
It's all right, because their money will go to either Lee England Jr. or Nita Strauss, whoever plays him in at WrestleMania. Yeah. So at least that's getting recycled.
I hope it's Nita Strauss. I've got a real thing for her. Anyway, let's move on.
I don't think it's weird to have a thing for Nita Strauss before you move on.
Do you know she's related? I think I've said this before. She's related to actually the composer Strauss. Do you know that?
Yeah. I woke up at 4 a.m. to interview her one morning about... Oh, a year and a half ago.
Yes, this is complete. We've had this conversation.
Gary told you that fact, John. So you've got to the stage of recycling Gary's fact.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, Bronze. Continue.
That's all right, it's fine. So, great match between Uso and Nakamura, and Cesaro was on commentary, and they're teasing the fact that he's still a heel. So, it'll be interesting to see where they go with that.
Best of seven series.
Yeah.
Wow. So is he, you know, I did see that potentially he could be, he's going to challenge Reigns. I would like to see that.
I think they're going to do the bar in reverse first. I think they're going to have him with Cesaro and then maybe go back to that. Maybe have Cesaro as turning or have Nakamura versus Reigns. But I think they're teasing the Cesaro thing first. Wouldn't mind, but as I mentioned last week, you know, the Nakamura thing, everyone's gone, what should be Nakamura facing Reigns? And I'm going, you didn't think about that 2 weeks ago. It's only because WWE presented it really well that you're managing to now think that Nakamura should be challenging Reigns.
So. I think if anyone at the end of last year was like, yeah, I think we should put Shinsuke Nakamura back in the main event, everyone would have been like, no, they've been burying him for years.
But. Exactly. But speaking of buddies, first buddy of the night was Rey Mysterio versus Corbin, unfortunately. Dominic Mysterio was way out of his depth on commentary. He was like a deer in headlights. And the Forgotten Sons have just vanished. So...
have
bring
they?
Them in for Christmas. Yeah,
there is a reason for that, which I will not disclose, but people can probably make up their minds.
All
on
right, okay.
Right, okay. Talking of Mysterio, while we're on the subject, did anyone see the picture of someone putting up a protest outside the Pitadre with a Rey Mysterio?
Yes. Yes.
No.
The caption was 8 p.m. putting out a banner outside Petrodri, 10 p.m. the Royal Rumble.
I'm pretty sure it was Scott that put it up that I've seen him.
That would make sense.
One of our patrons, Scotty Kirkwood, it was Scotty Kirkwood that I saw it off of. Yeah.
And my other buddy of the night, I want to buddy the final segment, but not for any of the reasons that people think. I've got absolutely no problem with Kevin Owens being in the main event picture for the Rumble. Heyman chased Adam Pearce all night with Royal Rumble contracts. Roman finally signed his. Pearce limped up the ramp and pretended that he had an ongoing injury. And when he was talking, his mic kept cutting out and it really took away from the moment. So for me, that's why it's a buddy. Let's say no issues with Owens taking over the main event for the Rumble. Just that spoiled the moment for me.
Fucking Kendall. Fucking Kevin Dunn. It's been a while since we've got a good bury on Kevin Dunn. So. Yeah.
And I also want to put over again Billy Kay with the Riot Squad. Dressing to look the part. Instead of giving the Rock hands, she looked like she was doing Spider-Man's web slinging, which is just very weird. And for any of our Australian listeners, I want you to let me know what Australian mosh pishing is. Mosh pishing. Now, I didn't want to Google it because we know what pishing is here. So I don't want to end up seeing something that I don't want to see. So
yeah. Stay away from the works.
It would just be one of the headbangers taking a leak.
As I say, stay away from works computers. Alex is currently Googling mosh pishing. I can see it in his eyes.
Well, I'm getting right. So I'm getting like mosh. And do you know what the second link is? It's G on Twitter. That's # SmackDown mosh pishing, but there's nothing to actually explain what mosh pishing is.
Right. Okay.
I think it was a Drew McInfart moment by Billy Kay again. I think it was just the wrong wording, but I'm not sure if it was deliberate or no. Which even better if it is.
I'm totally down for that. If all the superstars are getting a little bit disgruntled and are all going to start putting in like purposeful slip ups just to make memes.
See if we're paying attention at that time of the morning.
Right, brilliant. Love that. Match tonight, Mr. Chill.
So Cesaro versus Daniel Bryan, I think it was to be expected. Highlight of the match was Daniel Bryan going for a top rope Hurricane Rana, but Cesaro caught him, maneuvered him around, and then hit a beautiful spinning top rope superplex. And Cesaro beating Daniel Bryan with the neutralizer made him look like a credible threat leading into the Rumble, especially if, as we've just said, if it's going to be him versus Nakamura, Nakamura's main event, or Cesaro's not quite been there as talented as he is. If they're going to, you know, level him up before he takes on Nakamura, I'm all for that as well. Yeah. So a really good show again.
That Daniel Bryan, it's a strange one with Daniel Bryan at the moment. He seems to just be putting people over, doesn't he?
I think by choice, he's said that he doesn't really see himself as a full-timer anymore.
Really?
And he had said that since before he even came back. I think it's choice. But that's Kurt Angle was a big fan of that match. He compared it to his matches with Chris Benoit. So,
wow.
He publicly said he who should not be named.
Yeah, he has several times. Kurt Angle said Chris Benoit quite a lot on Twitter.
Because he's not contracted anymore.
Yeah. But I think it's Kurt Angle who's going to tell him what to do.
Exactly. No, but Daniel Bryan, one last title run. Everyone Do you think that should happen, or do you think he's done?
I think that Daniel's legacy is better the way it is, and I think right. that's the way he'll be remembered, as the champion, as the little champion who never got the full run he deserved, but he did many big moments.
Anything now is a bonus, because we didn't think we were going to see Daniel Bryan back in the ring.
Yeah,
so I think just that, it doesn't really matter what he does now. He's already, you know, WrestleMania 30 will live forever. I don't think it really matters.
Yeah,
I think if that was the only thing you ever do as a wrestler, is that moment at WrestleMania 30, you can retire fucking happy the next day, can't you? So it's...
Nah.
Is there one last... I'll get off Daniel Bryan in a minute, but is there one last Daniel Bryan, one competitor in the WWE Universe, whether it be NXT or the main roster, you would like to see him face?
Johnny Gargano.
Oh, Gargano's a great shout. Yeah, absolutely.
If Gargano was a face and Daniel Bryan was a heel, that would be a true like passing of the torch, I think.
Aye, that's a great shout. Paul, you got one?
As bad as it sounds, you could probably put him to NXT. Like, I'll not say, you know, draft him to NXT, but he could have some amazing matches. You know, even him versus Pete Dunne.
Oh God! Yeah, so many good matches out there for him to have, isn't there?
That's what you could do for the end of his run. Put him down to NXT, make him like some kind of trainer type figure thing down there.
It would be full circle, because obviously he was the rookie in Miz in NXT. So yeah. I think he might have surely he's faced Finn Balor at some point, but
I can't.
Drew McIntyre hadn't faced AJ Styles up until
I think they might have been on separate brands, because Balor was on Raw for most of his run until his last part of SmackDown. So maybe during that last year on SmackDown, but apart from that, I think they were always separated.
Maybe there's not.
What was the match of the night? Yeah, you said that. Yeah, of course. Gary, Raw, come on, hit us with it. From what I've seen online today, it looks like there's been some good bits. However, I have seen some fucking shanners as well. What's happening?
So, I might set the tone with my first put over is Goldberg.
The tone has been set.
Goldberg had a heart attack that put him in intensive care in November, and he's back collecting a paycheck for WWE. Well done, Dwayne Gill. That's all I can say. Absolutely brilliant. You know, that guy has appeared in WWE in 4 decades now as Goldberg.
Wow.
Does he give royalties to Chris Jericho still after managing to maintain that guy? So
my first put over is just Goldberg, the fact that he's, you know, recovered from being in an intensive care unit 2 months ago to being on Raw. That is ridiculous. I knew it was happening. They didn't announce Goldberg before Raw, and then the second Raw happens, they say Goldberg's going to be the guest on the dirt sheet. It's like, The Miz is going to introduce Goldberg. Of course it's going to be Goldberg. It's not something they've ever repeated or done several times before. Of course it's going to be Goldberg. But well done to Goldberg picking up that check. I don't follow James Ellsworth. I didn't see if he instantly put out a tweet about his best friend Goldberg. So, I'm not even going to bury that segment, because there's enough other things to bury that the segment was shocking. And another wee mini put over from it, which I can't believe I've got 2 put overs for it, is the fact that the guy from the Santa Claus was in it, and they didn't even reference him by name.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Bernard for the Santa Claus, who's also in 10 Things I Hate About You, which I'm annoyed they didn't do a 10 Things I Hate About Drew quote in it. But they had the guy that's in that, he's also been in like Super Bad and stuff. They had him playing Drew McIntyre, and while I hate body shaming in any way, the best tweet I seen all night was somebody saying Drew Mack and spare tire, because it was a guy with a belly wearing a kilt. It honestly made the segment all right for me when I seen that tweet. I was like, right, that's cheered me up enough that I don't care too much about it. But that full segment was bad, but it's not even in the biddies. So Paul mentioned the 8K cameras. I love them. They're absolutely amazing. You know, we've mentioned so many times on this how good WWE is at production. You know, documentaries, the vignettes, everything they do, production-wise, is amazing. Raw was shocking production-wise, absolutely terrible. So they had, firstly, the cameraman missed Peyton Royce attacking Charlotte, and the camera just shook really violently. I don't mind, everybody moans about the camera cuts, you know, they have like whatever, 60 cuts in 60 seconds. I don't even mind that. I get that they're going for, you know, urgency, and I think it's just the world we live in that everybody wants, like, you know, short attention span, boom, 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 this is what's happening. But they missed that. They then had Asuka get cut off like halfway through a backstage vignette. They had Bobby Lashley stamp on Riddle's foot, but was a mile away from him, and the camera caught him, though actually stamping on his foot. And the fact that Riddle mentioned a few weeks ago in SmackDown he's got no feeling in his feet for having frostbite. Continuity there. But they missed that. Everything was just wrong. They were showing the WrestleMania report segment, which is just a full 5-minute vignette, and they cut to the middle of the ring with nothing happening and Alexa Bliss's theme tune playing in the background 10 minutes before her entrance. Everything production-wise was just bad.
Are they in a new venue? Are they in like a new Thunderdome now?
Yeah, but they have been for a long time.
Like, I didn't think they moved recently or anything like that.
The rumours are that they are still, you know, facing a depleted roster for obvious reasons. We know why Drew McIntyre's not there. And maybe that affected production, but I've not heard anything about that. But everything was just really disjointed and really, really unlike WWE. It was just production-wise, everything was terrible. And this was like, they showed a 10-minute pre-recorded video package at the start of the show, and 40 minutes in, there'd been three major production issues. And it's like, come on, like, I say this, you know, as somebody that loves Impact, it was worse than Impact, like, in terms of production-wise. They just didn't, I don't know what was up. Hopefully it's just a one-off. Hopefully we go back to them being their brilliant selves, you know, production-wise next week. Because for me, if like with WWE, even if I don't like what's happening in the ring or, you know, in terms of segments, production keeps it up, and it just didn't. So that was the major thing for me that just was bad. It was really bad. Other biddies, and there probably are a few things that people disliked. I liked one of the things that people really disliked, so I'm saving that for my next put over. But my other biddy is going to be when things don't make sense. And I always say this, you know, wrestling's at its best when it makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, you need to work twice as hard to make it good. So they had Alexa Bliss declare herself for the Royal Rumble, and then she pinned Raw Women's Champion Asuka later in the show. So, by the theory of that, should she not just have a title match at the Royal Rumble? And people were saying, well, she declared before she pinned Asuka. And I'm like, that's true, but without exposing the business too much, the writers knew she was going to pin Asuka when they had her declare for the Royal Rumble. It's the simplest thing ever. And the reason that she's, the most likely reason that she's not going to be against Asuka at the Royal Rumble is because Asuka will be defending the tag team championships, which we forgot she has with Charlotte Flair, because they didn't do it with them last night. So she's going to be defending them probably at the Royal Rumble, which means unless she defends the title between now and the Royal Rumble, she's going to have defended the title the last time at the end of November. So where's the 30-day rule? Yep. 30 days. So it's just a mess. I feel like Asuka's brilliant, and again, the production issue didn't help last night, but they just kind of dropped the ball in several ways on that. And the Charlotte thing was bad as well, but obviously they just dropped the ball on everything there women's division-wise last night. I thought it just didn't look good at all. However, the last put over is going to be the thing that I think a lot of people would have buried for last night. And it was the main event, which didn't quite get my match of the night, because I'm going to talk about match of the night. But Alexa v. Asuka was brilliant. There was, again, a thing that, you know, when it happened, I was like, ugh. And it was, so they had Alexa Bliss come out. You know, they'd already done Alexa's Playground segment. They had Alexa Bliss come out, a new kind of dress. She's got a new entrance, but like, the music's a wee bit altered. They've got the Fiend in the background, or blue Alexa Bliss in the white background turns to black and red like Stranger Things, and all that kind of thing. They've done everything well there, and then they have her versus Asuka. She comes out in a black kind of dungarees style dress, I guess. I don't know. I guess that's what he'd call it, with a pink t-shirt under it, kind of natural makeup on, her usual smiley self. And then she's kind of fighting for underneath. Asuka's getting the better of her. And all of a sudden, Alexa Bliss kind of gets the better of Asuka. She's standing in the middle of the ring, the lights start going down. We cut to an ad break, which it did last a wee bit too long. We had like 4 minutes in between them getting back to normal. But when it came back, the lighting came up. Alexa Bliss is all in black, black t-shirt under the dress, black lipstick on, and she wrestled like the Fiend. So completely like no selling stuff. She kind of sold a wee bit, but selling in a way that somebody that's been possessed would. I get why people don't like it. People don't like their magic. People hated the fireball segment, but this was really good for me character work-wise. And then at the end, they had her pin Asuka with the sister Abigail, stood in the middle of the ring, and they had to flick her back. The thing they've been doing amazingly recently that I love, the post-production thing, Ed in the pre-recorded segment for before Raw, and had her back in her normal attire, and then had Bray Wyatt's voice, they let me in, and she mouthed along it. I just think what Alexa Bliss has done is brilliant. People don't like this, but I love it. I think it's the only reason I'm watching Raw right now. So I think it's brilliant. However, match of the night, and I almost just made my put over two things that happened to it. AJ Styles v Ricochet. If they'd have had them wrestle for 3 years, I wouldn't have complained. They had AJ Styles went for a phenomenal forearm, and Ricochet caught him with the recoil. I mean, it was a good match apart for that. Omos looked brilliant again, AJ Styles' bodyguard. The end to the match, they had Ricochet off the top rope, and AJ Styles caught him for a Styles clash, and it was just brilliant. It's like the kind of thing where I always say the most boring thing about wrestling is the wrestling, but this was the highlight of all. It was absolutely amazing. So match of the night, Ricochet, AJ Styles. If you're going to watch it, and yet again, I'd say just go to the end, or watch the Randy Orton thing just because it was bizarre.
After getting the Dalzine fireball last week from Alexa Bliss, he's now wearing some sort of luchador mask with a red nose popping out. Did I see that right?
Aye, and he also said he had first degree burns, which a first degree burn is sunburn. So, so get your medical terms right, Randy, come on. But aye, he's wearing like he's wearing an El Santo-esque mask. That just has his nose sticking it, which I don't think that mask would help burns anyway. But that is the meme of the night that I had to resist for putting up several times, was that Randy Orton said during the promo, "I'm wearing this mask to not only protect myself, but to shield everyone else from the horror I endured, which is me watching Raw for the past month." So I quite like it, because that is the one thing about Raw that's keeping my attention, is the full Randy Orton Fiend, you know, Alexa Bliss thing. But aye, last night was a rough watch. If you're going to watch it, and just skip to the AJ Styles Ricochet match and then watch the end, you'll see everything you need to see.
Okay, I'm a fan of the. I think the Alexa Bliss stuff's good as well. I'm a fan of it because at least it's something. And well done, Gary. We've got through a full Raw thing without any mention of Retribution.
Well, that almost one of my putovers. Mace looked amazing in the ring. Dio Madden looked absolutely brilliant in the ring. So
if they could call him Dio Madden and he could actually be a wrestler.
Just get him against Brock Lesnar. Pull that story back full circle. he was brilliant in the ring against Xavier Woods. That full bit was enjoyable. Not quite enjoyable enough for me to mention it as a putover, obviously, but it was enjoyable enough for me to not bury Retribution.
Well done, Retribution. Thank you very much for that, Gary, and thank you very much to Bronze Cello, the current guest mark title holder. We'll see you next week, unless anyone out there wants to rise to the challenge and take on the man. Let us know on the Patreon or on Twitter. That'd be great. And that's where you can put on your buddy or put overs for Rabbit and Gradle, who are back on Friday. You can do at Wrestling Daft. You can do it on Instagram at Wrestling Daft Podcast, or just plain old Wrestling Daft on the Facebook. Gentlemen, it's lockdown. I know there's not really the urgency to shave. We've all got a bit scruffy over lockdown. Alex, your hair is just coming out of everywhere.
I personally don't really intend to cut any of it until at least 2022.
Right, okay, you've got a fantastic mustache over. But if you wanted to get rid of that mustache, can I suggest that you get Harry's? It is an absolutely brilliant shave. I've got one of the packs through recently, and I've been using it, and See, because I cut generally my down with a, you know, what do you call it? Trimmer.
Like an electric shaver kind of.
I'll do my neck with a razor. And
I'm the same because we are wrestling fans who are commonly referred to as neckbeards. So you need to get rid of the underneath bit.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Harry's is the way to go. Basically, they've got the best quality products. They bought a factory in Germany that's been making blades for over 100 years. It has this factory, right? Let me tell you about this factory. There's 600 engineers, designers, craftsmen, and chemists in there to make Harry's products the best. They use the finest materials and ingredients. Who would have thought 600 people are involved in making razors? Incredible. But basically, they do all this and they'll make sure that you'll get a quality shave at a really fair price, right? So they've got a trial set available. And in this trial set, this is what you're going to get. It's going to give a close, comfortable shave, and you're going to get a weighted ergonomic handle in there. You're going to get 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade. You're going to get rich lather and shave gel, and you're going to get a travel blade cover on there. It's a great shave, like I say, and Grado, you'll hear it on the main podcast, always going on about the shave gel. It smells really, really nice. It's nice aloe vera. And you can get this trial set really, really easy by taking up our offer. You're only going to get that for £4.95. So it's a brilliant offer, which you're going to get all that stuff in, the razor handle, the 5-blade cartridge, foam and shave gel, and the travel bag cover for just simply £4.95. And your way to do that is you want to get onto harrys.com/wrestlingdaft. That's harrys.com/wrestlingdaft and pick up your trial set for only £4.95. Bargain. It's the Wrestling News with Gary Cassidy. I've dropped inside the ropes. It's really hard to squeeze it.
Aye. That's all right. I'll plug where you can read my big mental article on WrestleMania.
Anyway. Absolutely. Where can we read your mental article on WrestleMania you're about to tell us all about?
So you'll no need to read it because I'm going to sum up the main points for it anyway. But if you did want to go back and read it, then just go to itrwrestling.com. And I've done about 3 articles now on WrestleMania. All the confirmed information, which we're going to get into, and then likely attendance and precautions that might be taken, and how the Raymond James Stadium has been transformed to deal with the likes of WrestleMania, because there's another event happening similar. So yeah. WrestleMania, obviously we mentioned it earlier, you know, WWE sent out that press release. I think most of the listeners, I don't think all are from the UK, but hopefully you'll kind of be able to work out the time. At 5:01 in the morning on Saturday the 18th, 17th, kind of going into 18th, a message for WWE, their full statement on WrestleMania 37, 38 and 39. So normally we get a WrestleMania announcement. Obviously, things are a wee bit different. If you've listened to this podcast or if you follow me on Twitter, I've mentioned, I think back in October was the first time I reported that WrestleMania wasn't going to be WrestleMania Hollywood this year, as you know, as it was announced, which most people will know the reasons why. So we don't need to go into that. I'd previously reported that it's going to be at the Raymond James Stadium, which was where WrestleMania 36 is meant to take place. So that is now where WrestleMania 37 is going to take place. The one WrestleMania of the year that was too big for just one night is no longer an accurate tagline, because we now have another WrestleMania over 2 nights. This year's WrestleMania is going to be over 2 nights at the Raymond James Stadium, which holds 65,890 people. I think we can assume that that's not going to be the case for WrestleMania. One thing worth noting, legally, WWE could run a full house. Florida is, you know, there's no restrictions against them running that. Obviously, people haven't ran full houses. We've seen AEW running certain capacities. There's been NFL games at said stadium. There's going to be the Super Bowl 45, I believe, is going to be at the Raymond James Stadium. That's expected to be roughly 22%, which is what the average has been. 14,483 has been the kind of attendance capacity that there's been. The reason for that, obviously, social distancing. They've been having pod ticket sales. Again, WWE have announced ticket sales, ticket availability will be announced in the coming weeks after Super Bowl, most likely. But they've been selling tickets in batches of up to six and then 6 feet distance between each pod. A few things about the Raymond James Stadium. Everything's contactless, so you can go and park. You can go into the stadium using your ticket, you know, turnstile, whatever. Go through them. You can go and buy food, go buy merch, go to your seat without seeing anyone, without touching anything. Essentially, everything is contactless. Everything's touch-free. They have made the toilets touch-free. You don't have to touch the taps, don't have to touch the toilets. They've put 300 hand sanitizing stations around the venue. Everything in place for those NFL matches, for the NFL. Of course, the kind of thing that will be infrastructure in place for WrestleMania. So they could change the attendance, they could change all that, but all that stuff's in place. So essentially, WrestleMania will have fans. WWE have been pretty forthcoming about ticket sales are going to be announced soon. Will have fans, will be at the Raymond James Stadium, not on March 28th as previously announced. They've put it back to April 11th or April 10th and 11th because it's over 2 days now. And then WrestleMania Hollywood, which was announced, we all thought Rock v Roman Reigns, WrestleMania Hollywood. Might need to wait 2 years for that now because that's going to happen in 2 years. And the one in between is at the AT&T Stadium, which we've previously seen a lot happen from. WrestleMania is included in Texas. So, hurdles of WrestleMania stuff. The one big unknown is events surrounding WrestleMania. It's obviously over 2 days, so you can probably take for that that takeovers probably not going to be on WrestleMania week as it wasn't last year. However, Hall of Fame, Dave Meltzer saying that the Hall of Fame is planned to be virtual, which, you know, the climate we're living in, that would make sense. When I reported on WrestleMania moving to Tampa in October, the one thing I was told was that the WrestleMania would normally or would likely take place for Raymond James Stadium, but I was told that WWE had locked down a lot of venues in Tampa. Since then, obviously, they've moved to a venue in Tampa to actually do their weekly broadcast, but I was told a few other venues that were meant to be for, you know, the things that normally take place in terms of signings, meet and greets and stuff like that. No sure if meet and greets will take place, but there are venues apparently locked down for such things. Access is up in there, takeovers up in there, Hall of Fame ceremonies up in there, but Dave Meltzer says that will be virtual. But WrestleMania will take place with fans, possibly only 14,000, but a hell of a lot more than were there last year. So at least it's something, and it's dominated the news and made me have to stay up an extra hour and miss the first hour I had to kill.
How do you guys feel about a WrestleMania in a pretty empty, large stadium? Because I don't know how that's going to look.
It depends on what they can do. I mean, they can do, obviously, like, I guess it's going to be quite distanced out, but they can obviously, I wonder if they'll somehow...
They need to bring in the Thunderdome screens.
You know,
I don't think they will because that's a lot of infrastructure, but I actually thought personally that it might have been better in the Thunderdome.
Yeah, and just bringing some people in and bringing your setup in, because I'm personally of the opinion that I don't think they're going to get 14,000 fans in for WrestleMania personally.
I think they will.
Again, I'm not sure.
You forget what's happened tomorrow.
Well, that's the
I think
there's going to be some federal things coming down that's not so state specific.
That's what I was going to say. If when Joe Biden comes in, he's obviously, I mean, America's out of control in terms of COVID. God, that's easy for us to say here as well. But, you know, it's like, do you think...
I think you've just smashed a window in the glass house here in John.
But, you know, do you think Biden could obviously put the, you know, if Alex is saying there's going to be federal laws handed down here, I mean, there could be, you know, a full stop put on WrestleMania and it could end up resorting to a Thunderdome.
I wouldn't be surprised for that to happen. I think
I kind of mentioned there that it's all dependent on the Super Bowl, but no, one point that I definitely missed is that Joe Biden is definitely a factor in that, because he could just say no events with fans.
Biden will not have the same... I mean, I'm making grand generalization statement here, but I don't think Biden's going to be anywhere near as liberal or lenient as Trump has been with professional sports.
Yeah. I'll be interesting because it'll be interesting because obviously, you know, us wrestling fans, WrestleMania is our Super Bowl. But obviously to the Americans, Super Bowl is, you know, the whole family around the telly. It's the biggest sporting event in America. Now, you know, any president that's going to, you know, put the brakes on the Super Bowl, you know, that'll be very telling at that point. But I know I'll be interested to see what happens. Oh, top WrestleMania news, Gary. And just we'll do our little story. Matt Cardona turning up on Impact now.
Yeah, so Matt Cardona, obviously known as Zack Ryder in WWE. Just gave away his full identity. But, you know, when the April releases were announced, while he wasn't in the most prominent position in WWE, a lot of people were like, it's a bit surprising because he's got such a big online presence. Turned up in AEW. It did unfold. It was only announced or only contracted to a 5-appearance deal. He did appear, I think, 5 times. He wrestled, I think, only twice. Everyone thought AEW would pick him up. I mean, they might still. There is a bit of a working relationship with where he's ended up. But one of the biggest shocks at Hard to Kill, I thought we'd get the Young Bucks appearing at Hard to Kill. We did not, but we did get Matt Cardona, and he made his actual wrestling debut. He wrestled Ace Austin, really talented guy for Impact. If nobody knows who that is, go and check out his stuff because he's absolutely amazing. But Matt Cardona wrestled him, picked up the win. The thing that came out on commentary that was a bit odd was they said, Matt Cardona now with Impact. Fightful have reported that he's not quite signed to any contract yet. However, Impact this week have recorded months of content, as they have been every time they've done tapings. So there's a good chance that he could have signed a very short-term deal with Impact and he could still be appearing on their televisions up until May or June because they've recorded that much TV. But we've got Matt Cardona there. The one kind of, there's two split faucets to this one, because Matt Cardona, obviously really good friends with Impact's current talent, Brian Myles. Kurt Hawkins runs the MFW podcast that Kyle Customs, that's friend of Wrestling Daft, has provided figures and stuff for, has appeared on. But he's there, so it makes sense to have them there. However, one thing that came out about the Major Wrestling Figure podcast recently was another Hard to Kill thing. Ethan Page, who's no longer contracted to Impact, had a match on Hard to Kill with himself as Karate Man. He completely said that Impact fucked him over with that match.
It was potentially the worst cinematic match of the year.
It was not good. I think his talent shone through. And like the one thing I tweeted about the match, I'm normally, you know, if you can't say it nice, don't say it at all unless you're on Wrestling Daft and then let it out. but the one thing that I said about it is, man, he's going to be an asset to wherever he goes. That was his last Impact appearance. And through the private group of that podcast, which is now two guys that are in Impact, he said that Impact lied to his face, were very greedy, and wouldn't send him the full edited version of his match, and that they essentially have buried him on the way out, and that he's not going to be doing it, and they're speaking anywhere until he debuts elsewhere. So that was interesting, because that's two Impact guys that have put a statement on that, essentially. But I Hard to Kill, it's amazing that the two most newsworthy things that came for Hard to Kill weren't anything to do with the AEW World Champion pinning the Impact World Champion clean as a sheet in the middle of the ring.
So. Yeah, because Kenny Omega's the real World Champion. Have you not listened to a word Don Callis has said?
Guy,
it's not a character, it's just the truth.
I was on character anyway. Yes, so there you go. Ethan Page feels buried by Impact and kind of buried Impact on his way out. And Matt Cardona might be with Impact, but who knows? He's at least going to be there for a few tapings. And one other person that's going to be there for Impact fans is ODB. She's announced she's returning to Impact. So,
yay! I love ODB. Can she go and join Crazy New Eric Jung in some way?
New Knockouts tag team champions. Yes, there you go. They held them for 400 days, so there you go.
Brilliant. Well, that's good news for Impact, good news for you guys. And
well, it's not so good news that people are burying them on the way out, and they're burying people on the way out, John, but I mean...
Well, yeah, okay. Right, point taken. Let's move on. Thank you very much for the news, Gary.
Cheers.
Patreon. It's what it's all about these days. It's our way of trying to, you know, give you more content if you pay a fee. It's a bit like the Netflix of wrestling, but not really half as good. We've basically got lots of extra content that you can pay for. You can join up on three tiers. We all love a tier, as I keep saying during lockdown. They're split into Cruiserweight Champion, Intercontinental Champion, World Heavyweight Champion. Each of those, we've got different varying degrees of things you can get. As a Cruiserweight, you'll get ad-free versions of the episodes, early episode access, bonus content, full video version of this podcast, and you get to vote on what you want to see on the list of Wrestling Daft and vote on Fantasy 8 Booking Island, which is coming up in a minute. Tier 2 Intercontinental Champion, you get a video version of the flagship show, plus you get an invite to our Patreon pay-per-view party. Go do one for the Rumble. I don't think I've started a new job, and I'm up at 4:15 in the morning, and as it's my first couple of weeks, I don't think I'm going to be able to take the time off. So I think I'm going to try and do an evening showing of the Rumble if you're interested.
Even if you stayed awake, John, you might miss the end of the Rumble. Well, travelling to work.
That's what I'm thinking. So I think we might try an evening Patreon pay-per-view party if I can keep my eyes open. So we'll try get that on the go a week on Monday. Jesus, Rumble right, season, it's the road to WrestleMania. You'll get a bonus episode once a month, which will be coming soon. We've still decided what that is, actually. I think we're looking at doing something with Rab, doing a massive list of Wrestling Daft of the top 10 wrestling computer games, because Rab loves his wrestling games.
It's not No Mercy, or is it it's pro going wrestler, to be Virtual no, Pro Wrestler 3, no, then he's wrong.
It's going to be No Mercy. We all know it's going to be No Mercy. Though in saying that, it is Rab, so he'll have some obscure...
Do you remember NWO versus WCW Nitro Revenge 2?
No. That one was brilliant.
Yeah, that
I remember one, that. I think
it was a reskin of a Japanese game called some kind of Virtual Pro Wrestling.
So I go back to the old school WWF wrestling game in the arcades where you could play like Earthquake or Hulk Hogan or Macho Man. That was brilliant. Anyway,
I've got a WrestleMania game on the Sega Mega Drive sitting in my cupboard there, and I've also got one on the Game Boy. So they better be included or I'll be raging.
Right, okay. we'll look out for that and that. And Tier 3 World Heavyweight Champion, about £15 a month. Free Wrestling Daft t-shirt design of your choice. First dibs at coming on in the running or as a guest mark, which you need to take on Bronze Cello for the championship. So if you fancy any of that stuff, please get involved with us. patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. We've got a lovely, lovely, lovely community, and I love every single person that's on there. Everyone's so nice. Get on there. And talking of which, Alex, before we get into the next section, I've got something to read out to you. So get signed up now, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, and we'd love to welcome you to the roster. We're back on the island, and we all need a break from homeschooling, or is that just me? Grab a pina colada as we sit back and we book something from the world of wrestling. And remember, it's the island where anything goes. And before we get into the booking for this week, however, I forgot to read this out at the start of the show in response to Turning Japanese, which was back last week as we reviewed Wrestle Kingdom. Thank you very much to our patron, Neil Gow. He's a big fan of Turning Japanese. He'll be gutted that it isn't on this week and that Fancy Booking Island is back. But he had this to say, Alex. Here we go.
I'm worried. Right. Neil said bad things to me before.
Much like you've been called out in the past for your utter disdain towards all things AEW, remember that guy in Patreon, yeah? I feel that I need to do the same for the lack of respect shown towards current NJPW roster member and holder of the never openweight championship, one...
I didn't mention Shingo again, oh god.
Yeah, one Shingo Takagi, which you forgot to do the last time, Alex. It was bad enough that he was all but ignored by Alex during his G1 intro last year. Yes, I still remember that. No mention of his recent Wrestle Kingdom appearance, overshadowed by the man who challenged him and lost the damn match, was nothing but a slap in the face. Not only that, but it was done twice, almost to add further insult. Say the Jeff Cobb match one more time. I dare you. I double dare you. Say it. On a less aggressive sounding note, I'm finally fully on board with Jay White. His match against Ibushi was fantastic, and I don't know what's levels above Dickhead Heat, but he's definitely there and producing it by the ton. I'd actually be sad to see him leave, as it's almost like he's only hit his full stride in NJPW in the last few months and could end up having to start all over again in WWE. But what do I know? Damien Demento used to be my favourite wrestler.
I can tell you what's one level above Dickhead Heat.
What?
Ryback Heat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, Neil, I promise you, the next New Japan pay-per-view we have, we will do an in-depth review of every Shingo Takagi match moving forward.
Absolutely. I'm going to remind you of this. And, oh, just to grind John's gears, I had a vegan curry on Hogmanay. It was one of the best meals ever and came with an oat yogurt and mint dip that was out of this world. Polished off by a steak pie the next day to balance it out, though. So that's fine. He balanced it out.
John, did you hear the big news from the vegan culinary world this week?
No.
A French vegan restaurant has officially been awarded a Michelin star.
It's the end of the world, I'll tell you. Forget COVID. This is the end of the world right here. Happy New Year, everyone, says Neil. Neil, thank you very much for your correspondence. We'll love when you get in touch and pick up Alex on New Japan.
Never mentioning a DF Cobb match again. Yeah. I mean, the Shingo Takagi match. The Shingo.
Neil, we're going to have to get Neil on next time we do Turning Japanese. We're going to have to get Neil on to do just specifically the Shingo match, right? We'll definitely do that.
Shingo Takagi correspondent.
Yep. Absolutely. Thanks for that, Neil. And we will move on to Fantasy Booking Island now. Before Christmas, and it seems such a long, long time away, Ben said, you know how in sometimes the soap operas, they do a flash forward where people were in different relationships, someone died or something bizarre happened. Could you come up with a flash forward that would be interesting in wrestling? Eventually, I won that one, which was Grado holding the 24/7 belt aloft in a WWE ring. So, what are we booking? We're going to get you to vote on this. And who goes first this time? Because I can't remember. It's been so long ago, I can't even remember who the current champion is. Can anyone?
Oh, it was probably you. You just want us to remind you.
Yeah, I'll just say a bit as well.
Let's just say it's me. So I'll do you know what? I'm going to go first. I want to take the pressure off you guys. Because my booking's quite simple. I know Alex has had a month to think of this booking, so I'm expecting it'll be spectacularly complicated and he'll need his full 2 minutes to book it. So, I'll go first. So hit that timer. 2 minutes starts now. Here we go. Right, so we start off outside of WWE Stamford, where a Mr. Graham Steveley in full leotard is outside with signs picketing, and we'll say this is in a non-COVID era, saying, book Grado, in a very similar way to ICW. So we have vignettes going out each week of book Grado, and it's just wrestlers bypassing them day by day. Vince McMahon, who getting security to lift them off the ground. You know, we've got little things of him trying to sneak into Stamford in a box. You know, stupid things like this is Grado, and these vignettes run week in, week out. However, the 24/7 title in the meantime is going on, and do you know what? Somebody goes and wins it. Let's just say Drew McIntyre, for example. Do you know what? Wins the belt, and do you know what? This is a pile of fucking shite. And he puts it in the bin, right? Right, and that's, we think, is the end of the 24/7 belt. However, the trash gets taken out and put into the bins outside the Stamford, and then there's the stamp, the 24/7 belt. And who goes past the bin when this is happening? One Mr. Graham Steveley, who finds the 24/7 belt in the bin and declares himself the 24/7 champion. And so we start a whole thing of Grado as the unofficial 24/7 champion running around SmackDown and Raw, the Queen of the 12th is the 24/7 champion, and we get some comical matches as a result of it. We bring the 24/7 back title into a kind of hardcore era where we have matches in ball pits, matches at mini golf, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, we end up with a match where he does it properly in the ring after all this shenanigans, and we end up Grado standing aloft on that second turnbuckle with the 24/7 title.
Can I add one thing?
Yes.
So can whoever, fan-wise, who's listening to this podcast and is doing the run-in on Friday, please tell Grado that John has just booked him as a bin raker.
Yeah, don't tell Grado. You know, the Marks is a sacred place, people. Don't grass me up to Grado, because I'm in the bad books as it is, because I've ended up starting a job at a rival radio station to his, which is Go Radio, and I've started a job at Clyde One, and he's not happy with me at
and
all.
And you've got Billy Kirkwood as your tag team partner, so who's his tag team partner?
Yeah, Billy Kirkwood works alongside me at West FM. Don't tell Grado that. That would be much appreciated, because I've got so much heat with him already. Right, okay, who's up next?
Fine, I'll do it.
I was going to say, I've just ripped mines in the time that you've been
brilliant.
Saying.
I'll take the pressure. Yeah,
right, let's save the best last. Let's hit Gary.
Let's not get Gary finished. Let's give Gary time to finish.
I'm good. I've just wrote it in the 2 minutes that John said that.
Brilliant. 2 minutes start now, Gary. You've had a month to think about this, by the way.
So, I am wearing a Hulk Hogan t-shirt, who, coincidentally, the last Raw that was good might have been Raw Legends Night. So let's go to the next Raw Legends Night. And in the ring, we've got R-Truth hosting a segment with loads of Raw Legends. And suddenly, the camera starts to shake. And it's not just the lackluster Raw production team. The camera is shaking because outside the arena was parked Vince McMahon's private jet. But that's been crashed into by Total Nonstop Aviation's jet. The staircase comes out, and who walks it but Captain Grado? He's walking backstage. Goldberg's music's playing because Goldberg is in the ring as part of a segment involving loads of legends, and Grado is walking there and finds Chips, Cheese and Donner Meat sitting and says, "That's Madonna," to which Madonna appears on stage and starts singing Grado's theme tune. Grado walks to the ring. All these legends have kind of scattered away. Although R-Truth is somehow no longer champion, because the person standing in the ring with a belt is Honky Tonk Man. Grado walks to the ring, pulls something out of his bum bag, and the thing he's pulled out is hemorrhoid cream. So Grado puts hemorrhoid cream on his fist, rubs it in, gets to the ring. Honky Tonk Man says, "I'ma take a bump for ya." And Grado hits him with one punch with the hemorrhoid cream, which Honky Tonk Man kinda sells. And then Grado hits him with a wee boot, picks up the 1-2-3. Grado is your new 24/7 champion.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
That's fantastic. I don't even want to offer any more bookings.
So many gimmicks combined there. So many bits from this show combined into one brilliant booking. Great, Gary. Love it. Alex.
I was going to have him with a tag team partner called the Badass Billy Gaddy, but I decided not to bother.
Brilliant. Okay, Alex, what is your booking?
I went a bit more sensible and I put him in NXT UK. Does that count? Because I didn't realise.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
And he doesn't technically hold the belt in the ring at the end, but I'll get to that. It's fine.
Right, okay. Your 2 minutes start now.
Right, so for this to work, the 24/7 belt has to be a thing. And Truth's going to lose it back to Drake Maverick. So Drake Maverick's going to be the champion. Now, Grado's going to get his friend Joseph Parks on the podcast, and when Joseph Parks is on the podcast, he's going to invite Grado to be part of NXT UK's unsigned Battle Royal at their next pay-per-view. So we're going to get all the little promo packages of Grado with all the boys, like with Gallus and getting back around, and like him and Sha and all the unsigned boys. I know that Sha is signed, but just pretend he's not, right? So we come to the night, and we're about to have the unsigned Battle Royal. But at the beginning of the night, Drake Maverick comes out and he's like, no, before this happens, we need to celebrate someone who is actually signed. Someone who maintained his job during the pandemic. We want to celebrate me. But Grado, accidentally interrupts him because Grado doesn't realise that the match hasn't started yet. So we have this big battle royal, which Sha wins. That's how he gets his contract. But at one point during the match, Drake's a bit pissed off at Grado, so he sends down Killian Dane to take him out. So this leads to shenanigans throughout the whole show of just essentially Grado trying to get the title off Drake, but he keeps running into Dane, and he ends up in like a bin, and he ends up, I don't know, in a boot of a car in multiple situations. Until we get to the end of the night, when Drake Maverick comes out to call out Grado. So Grado comes out onto the stage, is once again blindsided by Killian Dane, and is knocked off the stage, and is just out on the stage. So at this point, Drake comes up to have a wee celebratory dance over Demo, but of course, out comes Big Gallus to sort out Drake Maverick. They take out Dane and they just casually toss Drake Maverick off the set. They then look down at Grado's body on the floor and they decide to just pick him up and throw him off the stage onto Drake Maverick. And then a dressing referee appears and pins him 1-2-3. Grado is now your 24/7 champion. And just to end the night, Sha runs out just to check if Grado's okay. He's still completely out. So what does Sha do? Sha pins Grado and runs away with a 24/7 title.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Love that. Love that. So there you go. Our three bookings. Jamal, before we get into it, you need to give a mention for Sha because he's obviously a friend of the show, and it's just brilliant. He had to obviously, we kind of heard within it an inkling last year that he had been signed to WWE, but he had to obviously, you know, concussion and injury, and it's just, it was just what a brilliant moment to see him in that WWE ring. As Ed,
did you see I was going to say, did you see the segment? Because the Ed Harvey thing, I was like, being obviously somebody that looks at all the news shite, I was like, the fucking trademark Sha Samuels, why are they calling him Ed Harvey? And then obviously done the thing, and I was like, oh, that's amazing.
I just
absolutely
think
amazing
that, but it was amazing that, you know, it's great to see Sha there. So that, you know, good luck to Sha in the NXT UK. So anyway, that's their three bookings for this week. You've got mine, where we basically redo the book Grado and the ones of 20.
No, it's called the Brado Binraker booking dot.
No, it's not called
however
that.
It will be remembered.
And we do that outside Stanford. We have Gary's, who's basically amalgamated every gimmick from this podcast into one.
Benaki didn't appeal, that's the only downfall.
That's true.
And it was a 24/7 tournament. It was a 24/7 booking, Gary. You actually could have easily had Fanaki in there. I'm kind of disappointed now you mentioned.
Yeah.
He'd be one of the legends in the ring.
And Alex has done, you know, Grado in NXT UK and pinning Drake Maverick for the title with shenanigans from Gallus and Big Demo. So yeah, we'll get that up on our Patreon if you want to vote on that. Patreon.com/ Wrestling Daft, and we'll get a booking up, and next week it will be we're going to do Fantasy Booking Island, the results and the new booking in a couple of weeks time, and next week it will be the turn of WrestleMania Buzznox.
Woo! And also, just to add to this, John is also going to put the booking up to the Patreon after we've done the show, so there's time to vote on it.
Don't worry.
And next week, guys, we're going to do Swat Up on Your Royal Rumble, boys. I've been trolling WWE.com and lots of sources to find the most stupid, pointless facts about the Royal Rumble for you guys to try and guess next week.
Oh, love it, love it. So that'll be a chance for to win a Wrestling Daft t-shirt on next week's show with WrestleBiting the Buzznox. So that's it for this week's show, guys. Thank you very much for joining me as ever. What are you looking forward to in wrestling this week? Is there anything?
I'm looking forward to seeing what the fuck Ricky Starks wears this week. It's becoming the highlight of my week.
I pretty much just Dynamite for me. AEW Dynamite, I think, has, along with SmackDown, obviously, has become like one of the most see to hours of the week. So I'm looking forward to that. Not looking forward to Raw, but Raw will be the go home to the Royal Rumble. So I guess that's something.
Well, hopefully it will be. I'm very much personally looking forward to the Fight Pit match, which is going to be on NXT.
Are they going to have it this week, though? Did we ever get a reason why that didn't go ahead that time before?
We don't know. We still don't know.
Nah, they'll just put it off for a couple of weeks. Why not?
Exactly. Why
one,
not?
One thing I'll say that I'm looking forward to.
New Year's Smash. We've had enough of being beaten by AEW. Let's do it in a week when they're having a down week.
Yeah.
One thing that obviously we've not mentioned too much that I'm looking forward to is I'm really liking the ICW stuff on the network. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I have to say.
It's been a good week.
I've got to put a shout out to Coach Tripp, who messaged us, because... I don't know if you saw it, but currently on the ICW WWE network, Coach Tripp has him doing "It's a Disaster, It's a Catastrophe," an impression of Tommy Sheridan on the WWE network. when he was cutting a promo in the ring. So we're going to have to play that out to Rab on Friday's show. So shout out to Coach Tripp for that one. Loved it, loved it. So that's it for the show. Rate, review, subscribe on Apple, wherever you get your podcast. Get those 5 stars in, it really helps us. Rab and Gregor back on Friday, of course. List of Wrestling Daft after the Fireball incident on Raw. We can't asking the question, what's the strangest things you've seen happen in wrestling? There's a fucking lot in there. It's going to be hard to pick out that one. Anything coming off the top of your heads?
Well, I've been watching Raw for the past few weeks, so there's hurdles, but I would say the either Mae Young giving birth to a hand, or the thing that always comes up, Katie Vick.
Katie Vick or Mae Young, yeah.
It's the hand. It has to be the hand. It's always. I mean, there was. I mean, did Vince not crucify his daughter live on TV as well?
Probably.
There's that, and obviously Hornswoggle being Vince's son, that full thing as well, yeah. and Vince actually dying on TV.
Yeah, Vince blowing himself. And, it was the terrorist attack from what's his name as well about that time. So,
Bray Wyatt's currently dead, to be fair. So you know, and Braun Strowman died recently as well. So lots of people die and just come back to life. So there you go. The punning is drug wrestlers. Come on, Gary, you can get me one. I'll give you stoned cold Steve Austin.
Oh, John, that's too easy. You take that back and you think of a better one.
All right, okay. The blue ketamine.
I mean, did you realise that blues are Valium, not ketamine? So that doesn't actually work.
Valium Venus is one. There you go.
Sorry?
Get Valium Venus in there.
Valium Venus. But blue ketamine, for God's sake, Alex.
It's because you're mixing your drug. You can't.
Right, okay, I forget you're
ketamine.
An expert.
It's wrong.
I forget
it's
you're
not
an
the
expert.
Correct drug analogy.
Sorry about that, Alex. Alex, obviously, in his spare time, he works in pharmaceuticals. I wasn't saying anything else about Alex, honestly. Right, so anyway, and the wrestling road story.
Or you could have a one for TNA. Can Abyss.
That works.
It was the pause in between.
It worked. And more wrestling daft road stories. It's currently, it's one of our favourite features. I don't, guys, please tell me you heard last week's story. If you haven't, have you heard it, Alex?
I haven't actually. No, what was the?
Go back and listen to it. I can't do it justice by telling you about it. It is 5 minutes of just, you'll laugh, you'll potentially be sick as well. So go back and listen to that if you've not heard it already. You'll see it on our social media. Streams if you haven't heard it, so get up that. So hey, that's it for the show. Thanks very much for listening. patreon.com/wrestlingdaft for more content. Get your merch. We've got some brilliant t-shirts up there, which I keep meaning to get for myself. I want to get the Hogan one. I don't even get them for free. I have to buy them, for fuck's sake. shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. That's it for us. Get Gary where?
Wrestling Gary on Twitter, where I'll just be sharing. My new thing is going back and doing stories that, you know, aren't they actually news. But I've just done one that is like my favourite story ever. That's an Inside Ropes video for like when Cody Rhodes done a tour a couple of years ago. And it's a Royal Rumble one. Yeah. And it's Cody Rhodes mentioning how he was going to enter the Royal Rumble match as a youngster. And they're like, right, you've got 30 seconds. And CM Punk was it before him. And CM Punk goes, right, you've got 30 seconds, what do you want to do? And he's like, oh, I don't really know. And then they figured out this thing where it's like, you know, he'll have a back and forth with CM Punk, and then he'll kind of push CM Punk over, but he doesn't actually go over. And they said that they went out, done that, and they realised only 2.7 seconds had been taken up, so he still had another 27 seconds to go. Seen Undertaker in the corner in Madison Square Garden, this was, and went up and just stiffed Undertaker in the back of the head. And he said these exact words. I went, fuck it, I'm going to just go and punch Undertaker and see what happens there. And he said the Undertaker turns around really slow, and he essentially shites himself. And ends up with Undertaker selling for him, taking a bump for him, and he said that's the moment he realised Undertaker was God and just wants to give back to the business. So I'm writing up shite like that because wrestling news can be really depressing. Stuff like that is amazing. I love when wrestlers end up just being absolute marks, and Cody Rhodes came across as a complete mark for the Undertaker there, and I loved it. So I am just writing up shite like that on Wrestling Gary at Inside the Ropes as well.
Fantastic. Check that out and make sure you get the latest issue of Inside the Ropes and check out all the stuff Gary's doing on the website as well. And Alex,
yeah,
have you tweeted anything since we last spoke to you?
Probably not.
Brilliant.
I think I'm a social media whore, mate. I'm an absolute social media whore.
Alex should now, for the next week, tweet his favourite Shingo Takagi matches or facts.
Yeah, do that, do that.
Can we actually invite Neil on? I should do a Shingo Takagi quiz one week as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You should do all that. And you'll get me at Producer Mac. Thank you very much for listening to Wrestling Daft the Marks. Until next time, keep marking out. Audio Frontier.